So we're discussing the Rambam's idea of idolatry, that he has a very interesting, maybe unusual idea of idolatry that is not only restricted to avodah zarah, to worshiping, how a person worships. If a person worships an object, obviously worships any object, any created being, no matter what his intention is, doesn't matter, that's avodah zarah. But a falsification, he maintains that falsification of the idea of God. A person has a faulty idea of God. And of course, we don't have it's impossible for man, kilo yirani adam v'chai, it's impossible for man to know God, so to speak, in a absolute manner, in a direct manner, because it's too profound, the concept is too abstract or profound, whatever the case is. And the Rambam talks about negative knowledge of God, what God is not. But we're not going into that right now. It means to say that there is a concept of God. There is such a thing as a concept of God that's correct, so to speak, from the human framework, in our framework. That is the idea of God that we're supposed to have. And to what extent it approximates the ultimate reality of God, that's something else, but it's appropriate to the human situation, as opposed to an idea of God which is completely inappropriate, which is a falsification. That's avodah zarah, according to the Rambam. So that, I think this is a doctrine that a lot of people have a problem with. That is, a person can be godly in the ordinary sense. He's a believer in religion. But if you ask him what his idea of God is, and that idea partakes of sheker, of falsehood. For example, he believes that God has powerful feelings of love and all, a human kind of a framework. He's projecting any corporality onto God. So according to the Rambam, that's idolatry. And he considers that to be the worst form of idolatry. And that's the subject of a machlokas. Not that this is idolatry, though. The machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivad in Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says that anyone who projects a shape onto God, some kind of a form onto God, which is corporality, is Ein lo chelek l'olam haba, doesn't have a share in the world to come. So the Raivad argues. The argument of the Raivad is that there were great people that had such an idea, and it was because of they made a mistake in reading the scriptures. They read the Torah does describe God. Does God has outstretched hand, or that God gets angry. So it does describe corporality. Now, the truth is that it's not meant to be taken literally. It's metaphorical. It's allegorical. One is not permitted to take that literally. Yeah, but what if a person made a mistake? Innocently enough. Not because of the wickedness of his heart. He made a mistake. Now, the Rambam maintains that in certain areas, that factor doesn't help you anymore. If at the end of the day, the person does not have an idea of God, so he's idolatry, so that's the destruction of the soul. And that's what the Rambam addresses in the Mora. On page 52 in the Friedlander, in the first paragraph on the page, towards the second half. How great then must be the offense of him who has a wrong opinion of God himself and believes him to be different from what he truly is, i.e. assumes that he does not exist, that he exists of two elements, that he is corporal, that he is subject to external influence, or ascribes to him any defect whatever. Such a person is undoubtedly worse than he who worships idols in the belief that they, as agents, can do good or evil. He's comparing over here someone who has a false idea of God with someone who worships idols but believes in God. That's the Rambam's point, is that the early idolaters did not negate God. They believed in God, but they believed that there were other beings as well, created by God, agents, so to speak, that were given delegation of power, so to speak, that there was a benefit in worshiping these idols. Nevertheless, the Torah says that's idolatry. The Torah says that's idolatry, but he's saying someone who has a faulty idea of God is much worse. because that person doesn't have God doesn't the person who worships idols is making a mistake, a very serious mistake, obviously. But at least he has, to the extent, if he doesn't lose it, he has a correct idea of God. But he has a faulty idea of how to worship God, and so on, or that God is the exclusive being that we can turn to. But it's much, much worse if the person's making a mistake with regard to the very idea of God. That's the worst mistake of all. Okay, now the question arises, well, what if one can say that it wasn't his fault? That's the way he was taught. That's a good point being made, that the way the term is used today, one can be a monotheist and still be an Oved Avodah Zarah. Because by monotheism, we don't mean just one God and no other. We mean something about, so to speak, the nature of God as well. That God cannot be visualized in any kind of a way, having any kind of form, partaking of any kind of corporality or anything associated with corporality. So even if one should have such a notion of a being, then he's the exclusive deity, that one might call him a monotheist, because there's no other one. But in our terms, that doesn't mean anything. He'd still be an Oved Avodah Zarah, because he has a falsification. Now, it's very, very important to understand why that should be. Most people would have a hard time with that. And they say, all right, look, you know, you have a better idea. You're all religious, you all believe in a higher power. What's the difference? Why is this so significant? So let's continue in the Mora here on page 52. Therefore, bear in mind that by the belief in the corporality, or in anything connected with corporality, you would provoke God to jealousy and wrath, kindle his fire and anger. Now, of course, these terms themselves seem to be very anthropomorphic. But he's already explained to you, you have to be able to keep things that have been established, that this is just an expression for the seriousness of the way in which it's going to be dealt with. As though, if that's Dibra Torah B'Loshin B'nai Adam. The Rambam, of course, is not speaking literally over here. Become his foe, his enemy, and his adversary in a higher degree than by the worship of idols. So you see that this is worse than the worship of idols. If you think that there is an excuse for those who believe in the corporality of God on the ground of their training, their ignorance, or their defective comprehension, you must make the same concession to the worshippers of idols. Their worship is due to ignorance or to early training. Quote, they continue in the custom of their fathers. So here's where the Rambam is addressing that it's not a matter of fault. This issue over here is not a matter of fault. What the cause is now in certain cases that does come into play. Why, you know, a person can be excused for certain things. He didn't know better. In general, that's the Rambam is not rejecting the principle in general, but in this particular area, it doesn't matter, because it's the end result. You will perhaps say that the literal interpretation of the Bible causes men to fall into that doubt. That's exactly what the Ravad is bringing up. He's not addressing himself to the Ravad, but he anticipated that problem. But you must know that idolaters were likewise brought to their belief by false imaginations and ideas. In other words, what's the difference then? If you're going to say that one can be malamed zchus, you have to take into consideration that it wasn't their fault, that that's the way these people understood it, or that's the way they were taught. So then that's going to apply to all idolaters. I mean, we were commanded to uproot idolatry, to wipe out all idolaters. But that's, except for the originators, the ones who were raised in it, they're just as innocent. How are they supposed to know differently? They were trained this way, and this person was trained that way. I mean, in either case, you can say, well, they should have used their own logic, their own independent thinking, so then you could say the same thing about this person who reads Scripture that way. Continuing now, there is no excuse whatever for those who, being unable to think for themselves, do not accept the doctrine of the incorporeality of God from the true philosophers. Today, for example, a lot of people, Judaism can be very reverential. They accept the Torah is true. You see how this can, in a certain way, can be a problem, can ensnare a person, because there's a difference between the primitive idolaters. Well, unless you want to say that they believed that their book, whatever it is Well, I guess they believe their book is true. We have the Torah. We have God's Torah. We accept that the Torah is true. But the way it's being taught, many people, is that that's, you know, whatever that rabbi or the Rebbe, whatever he says. And you can't question it. That's part of the teaching. You can't question it. So given that, a person, if he has a teacher that holds of certain doctrines that are corporal, that are based upon corporality, and that's the way he's taught. Indeed, many people that are taught this idea that's very popular nowadays, that there's a part of God in everyone, mamish, that thing. So if you challenge them, they'll say, who are you? They'll start mentioning names of different rabbis that teach this idea. The only way that a person can be free of that is if he uses his mind. But if he just, if he, not religiously, he thinks he's doing the right thing by not using his mind. It's an interesting kind of thing. Well, that's what the Rambam is saying. So that there's nothing that you can do about something like that. The person has to use his mind. And if he comes to a false conclusion about God, it doesn't really matter what the cause is. Now, people are going to look at that as harsh, but I don't think that it has anything to do with it. It's not because it's harsh. What does it really mean? Why is it idolatry? The essence of idolatry is, in one way or another, it's a negation of God. Now, a person can negate God in two ways. Either he can say there is no such thing, or he can say there is such a thing, but his idea of what it is completely false. So the God that he believes in doesn't exist. And the God of reality, he doesn't recognize. It's not the idea that the person accepts the fact that there is a higher being. That's not enough. What's your concept of that? It's got to be that you have some type of a awareness, a recognition of God. The God, what God? The God that exists. The God of reality. And to the extent that man is capable. To the extent that, there's different degrees among different people, but the notion that you have should be in line with reality. But if you do not have that notion, and you substitute for it a different notion, so that's something in your imagination. It's not real, has no reality to it. So then you don't recognize God. That's tantamount to a non-recognition or a denial, whatever you want to say. I mean, that you have no recognition of the Creator. What you have is sort of something imaginary, but it's not the Creator. Now, it seems that the Rambam maintains that this type of thing is not judged in terms of whether it's your fault or not. It's a reality. It's an actuality. Either it's there or it's not there. The essence of the soul depends upon a Yedias Hashem. And if it's lacking, so then the soul has no basis, so to speak, for its there's no basis for perfection. It doesn't have God. It doesn't have an awareness of God. So, therefore, according to the Rambam, it's not an issue that you're deserving of punishment. That's not the issue. That's not the way it works. It seems. It has to do with either or. I used an example that if a person goes to the doctor because he's really seeking a remedy for, you know, some kind of a complicated disease, and finds a doctor, and the doctor gives him the remedy, but it must be done in a certain way in order to work. And due to no fault of his own, a mistake occurs. And he thought it should be taken in this order, and he took it, whatever the case may be. It was not his fault. So is it going to matter? The answer is no, because he's not going to get the cure. It has nothing to do with fault. It's not his fault. It's a matter of a reality. That if you... There's certain laws that govern the phenomena. Here he's saying there are certain laws that govern the existence of the soul. And that has to do with a correct notion of the Creator. And if it's not there, the soul is destroyed. Not as a punishment. It's not that it's a punishment. But rather that it can't maintain itself. It's an imperfected soul, but the imperfection is such, there's different imperfections, obviously, the imperfection is such that the soul can't go on. It's hard to say what the Raivad's position is, but the Raivad does not look at it that way. And I don't know his whole philosophy on this. whether, you know, he views these things as punishments or whatever, and this person doesn't deserve a punishment, what's going to happen? I don't know. I mean, I don't know all of his the other positions, I mean, that are that this is connected to. Yeah, this is in line with the Rambam's idea that Olam Haba is a natural result of the perfection of the soul. And it's based upon the extent to which the soul perceives truth. And part of this, we didn't do the whole chapter, part of this chapter he talks about this idea that if a person makes a mistake in a certain area, I mean, it depends. I mean, certain any mistake is not good intellectually, but the effect is not as great. The area itself is not that serious. A certain person makes a mistake in an area that's not that serious, it's not so harmful. He develops that point, that a mistake in a certain area, in this area, is the most harmful of all.